killed people, conquered lands. And so the thoughts by many about religion are not very positive. Let me just remind us that God uses that word religion to describe who we are. As a matter of fact, Christianity is a religion of service. That's what we are about as followers of Jesus Christ. We are servants. Christianity is a religion of service. For example, let me just very quickly, I know some of you remember the passage found in James chapter 4, verse 17, where James, the brother of our Lord, says to him who knows to do good and does not do it, help me out, to him it is sin. Now, if I were to ask you to tell me what do you think James is referring to, what is sin, and you might come up with a list of sins and that and the things category, and there would be some truth to that. However, contextually, what James I think is really the context of to him who knows to do good, the person who is this not working? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me cut this off. I was going right along. There we go. Let me get closer so I can reach out and touch someone. Okay. Again, let me just say, in the context of James, I think what James is saying to him who knows to do good. In other words, the people who are not doing good in areas of service. Let me just give you a quick mindset of what James might be referring to. You know what is stated in the very first chapter in James chapter 1? Especially in about verse 27, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to visit the widows and orphans in their times of distress. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, if we're keeping it in context with James, when we're not meeting the needs of those who are widows and orphans, that would be a sin. That's what James is referring to. James is dealing with the idea of being involved in good works. But understand that as we follow Jesus Christ, our Lord, Jesus was an individual who went about doing good. Jesus was a man as he established his religion. It was established on the foundation, the principle of service. As a matter of fact, in our very passage that Paul read a moment ago, what did Jesus come here for? He didn't come to be served, right? But he came here to serve and to give his life as a ransom for the many. I'll bring out this point a little further in just a moment, but let me remind you that the greatest act of service by Jesus Christ is when he gave his life on the cross. Now, in just a moment, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But you might remember passages like 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, where Peter tells us that we need to walk in his steps. In other words, for the religion of Christ, the religion of Christianity, a religion that is based on the sure foundation of service, we need to be servants. That is the heart of the message of Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verses 20 through 28. Now, Paul read verses 25 through 28. But there was a discussion already ongoing about service. But Jesus was, make no mistake about it, a servant. You might remember where our Lord is referred to in his service by Peter, following in his steps, Galatians 5:13. I think this is what Paul has in mind in Galatians 5, verse 13, where Paul says, through love, serve one another. How did Jesus serve humanity? Through love. That's the same motivation that when we walk in his steps, we walk with the same motivation. We walk in service with love. And you might also remember on many other occasions, the Bible talks a lot about service. Paul, when he was referring to Titus, talked about being a part of good works. As a matter of fact, in that particular letter to Titus, over and over and over, Paul talks in the whole letter about service. I mean, this is a religion of service. Just think about it today. People have been serving today, whether it's the Lord's Supper, whether it's our elders serving the flock. Yes, they lead us, and yes, they are in spiritually over us. I get it. But those guys are servants, aren't they? I can tell you, I'm with them almost every day, if not personally in their presence, on the phone or through email. We're constant. Those guys are servants. You know what our deacons are? A special group of servants. You know what we are as a membership? We are servants. Why? Because we are a part of a religion that is based on service. Someone wrote, "The Roman soldiers shook the dice as for the stake they vied, quite unaware that on the cross the world's Redeemer died. The Roman soldiers shook the dice as for the stake they vied. Are we as unconcerned as they that Christ for us has died?" The idea there is that the greatest act of service by Christ was on the cross. If we are as concerned about that, then as concerned followers, we will be servants. Now, I know for some of you, this lesson's going to describe a lot about your life, because your life is seen as a Christian as a life of service. But let's talk about it for just a moment. I want you to first and foremost realize that Jesus Christ communicated service. This was his message. This was what he was preaching. This is what, when you heard Jesus talk, this was his message. This is what he talked about. He talked about the kingdom as being a kingdom of servants. He himself is a servant over and over in our text in Matthew chapter 20 that Paul read. Back up to verse 20. "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him, and with her sons kneeling down and asking something from him." She's like most mothers, making a request of Jesus. "I want something for my kids." We do that as parents. Verse 21, "And he said to her, 'What do you wish?' She said to him, 'Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom.' But Jesus answered and said, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?' They said, 'We are able.' And so he said to them, 'You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father.'" I'll tell you, servants sit on the right and left hand of Jesus Christ. "But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise great authority over them, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant.'" And then what does Jesus do? He says, "I didn't come to be served." That's not what this is about. Think about maybe a little bit of the embarrassment for the mother of James and John who just made the request. You're wanting a place of privilege and prominence, and you're wanting people to be servants to you. "Well, I didn't come for that purpose. Instead, I came to be served." I want to tell you, show me a man or a woman who has great faith, and I'll show you a great servant. There are no people of great faith who are not servants. Period. If you are a man or a woman that has a great faith, you are a great servant. Case closed. Because people of faith follow the example of Jesus Christ. This was what Jesus communicated over and over and over. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, Jesus said, "But he that is great among you shall be your servant." Also stated in our passage in Matthew 20. This again was at the heart of what Jesus communicated by way of service. Those who are first in the kingdom of Christ are servants. This is a religion of service. But not only that, understand that Christ also demonstrated service. Now, I'm not going to have time to unfold all of John 13. Flip over to John 13 for a moment. Most of you are familiar with John 13. As a matter of fact, in verse 1, we know that Jesus understands that his hour has come. What that means is Jesus knows he's about to go to the cross and die. And yet, what is he doing in that upper room? He's giving instructions, yes. He's providing an example, yes. But he is serving. He is serving the very men that he would die for. The Son of God, the very one who is God in the flesh, that has all rights to be served, ties on the servant's apron, kneels down, and serves. Again, I know that some of you are familiar with 1 Peter chapter 5. I've actually mentioned this before. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, I want you to notice a little bit of a statement that Peter makes in 1 Peter chapter 5, where he says in verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive. Notice that phrase, and be clothed with humility. That phrase in Greek literally means to tie on the servant's apron. Now, what do you think Peter's remembering? John 13, where Jesus literally tied on the servant's apron. Now, ultimately, as I mentioned a moment ago, ultimately, his death demonstrates commitment to serve others in a big way. This is the one way that we can see the ultimate act of service. Jesus gives himself, he pours himself out in service for the many, right? That was part of Matthew 20:28, right? He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for the many. It's implied there, as well as described or displayed right here in John 13. Jesus knows that he's about to die, and what is he doing? He's serving, but he's ultimately going to serve in the greatest way on the cross. When Jesus took up the towel to wash disciples' feet, he was demonstrating the importance of service. The Bible is such a cool book, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing. It's written by God, right? We get that. And we know it's inspired. I'm with you on all that. But this is just a cool book. There are little things that are found in Scripture that when you sort of put them together, you go, only God can do this. That's pretty cool. Mark in your Bible John 13, and also flip over to Philippians chapter 2. I want to show you something cool that happens in Scripture. And I think that this is important because this describes the man who's writing, Paul. This describes Paul as a servant. His message about Jesus was a message of service. Let me show you how I know. Here's what's cool about that. Now, flip back to John chapter 13. Keep your place in Philippians 2. In John chapter 13, verse 3, you notice in verse 3 where it says that Jesus came from God. You can underline that. Jesus came from God. What's cool in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, notice that Paul, when he's writing there, and he's referring to Jesus, who being in the form God. John 13, 3, came from God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, is from God. Being in the form God. In John 13, verse 4, laid aside his garment. Jesus in John 13, when he gets up to serve the disciples there and wash their feet. Sometimes I just tickle myself. I'm sorry. Wash their feet. He takes his garment, he lays it to the side. Notice how Paul, and I think this is a clear reflection on John 13. Notice what Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 7. But he made himself of no reputation. He's taking his garment, he's laying his garment to the side, he's taking the form of a servant. He's making himself, according to Paul in Philippians 2, verse 7, of no reputation. In John chapter 13, the latter part of verse 4, He girded himself with a towel. That's tying on the servant's apron, right? Again, in verse 7, taking the form of a servant. Isn't that what John's doing in John 13? Isn't that what Jesus is doing in John 13? Taking the form of a servant. In verse 12 of John chapter 13, taking his garment and sat down. At the beginning, he takes his garment, he lays it to the side, and then he gets his garment back, and he goes and he sits down. Right? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those in heaven and on earth and under the earth. He takes his garment back. He sits down. Where is he now? He is sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high. Again, when you read Philippians 2, beginning with verse 5 and going all the way through verse 12, you are reminded of the beginning of this story of Jesus tying on a servant's apron and serving people. Jesus was a servant. And ultimately, the greatest example of his service is when he goes to the cross and dies for our sins. And certainly that's a part of the text in Philippians chapter 2. But you might also remember that Jesus activated service. Now, the way that I'm referring to this, and as far as this point is concerned, he gave the responsibility to the disciples to carry out his mission in all the world, to preach his message, the good news, that he came to die for the sins of many. Part of that good news is not just that he offers forgiveness, but that it is a religion of service. And again, all of those individuals, when they went out, those 12, they talked about Jesus as a servant who gave his life for the ransom of many. And in this particular passage in Ephesians chapter 6, if you'll flip over there, Ephesians chapter 6, you will notice, beginning with verses 5 and following, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. So Jesus is activating us to be servants. That was spoken through Paul here as a servant of Jesus Christ, one who was responsible for the Great Commission, given that commission by Jesus himself. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not as to men, knowing that whomever or whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Here, Paul's saying that our service needs to be with a sincere heart everywhere we go, whether it's in the marketplace, in the church, or whether it's at home. We need to be servants. And I'm obviously using this concept in this particular setting of service being very broad, meaning that Christians ought to be the best workers in the workplace, period. Why? Because we serve Jesus Christ. We ought to be the best employees there ever was, correct? Because we follow Jesus Christ. As far as citizens in the country, we need to be the best citizens. Why? Because we serve as though in that capacity and in that setting, as though we're serving Jesus Christ. We're not doing it just so that people will say, oh, look at what he or she's doing with eye service as men pleasers. But we're doing it from a sincere heart. We are a part of a religion that is built on service. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We are servants of Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 6. And then again, in reference to Philippians 2, 1 through 8, we meet the needs of people wherever we go. We think not only of our own needs, but we think of the needs of others before we think of our own needs. And again, we need to be servants of Jesus Christ. Why did you come today? Why did you come here this morning? Did you come to be served? Did you come to have someone else fill your cup up? I mean, I want you to know that I hope that happened for sure. Or did you come here to give back as well? To serve. To serve the needs of those who are sitting shoulder to shoulder with you. To serve the needs of this family. And when you leave here, what do you take with you? Another sermon? Another Bible class? Or your heart that is filled with service? Again, the greatest example of service is what Jesus did on the cross for us. The beautiful thing about Jesus is he never asks us to do what he was not first willing to do. Jesus says, I want you to go serve the world. Well, look at what he does. He literally pours himself out for a world that is unworthy. But yet he does it anyway. As followers of Jesus, we do the same thing. If you need this morning the grace of Jesus, respond to him in faith. Believe that he is the one and only. Confess his name before this group. Be immersed in the waters of baptism. If you've done that and you're not currently walking in the grace of God, letting your light shine in a life that is lived in service before others, if you need to come forward as well, we will encourage you and help you as together we stand and sing.